Ann Arbor has its own Downton Abbey of sorts. It is the 15,220 square foot Earhart Manor, a replicated French country chateau built along the Huron River in 1935 by H.B. Earhart, owner of the White Star Oil Company, and his wife Carrie. The noted Detroit architectural firm of Smith, Hinchman, and Grillis collaborated with the celebrated Brookline, Massachusetts landscape firm Olmsted, which designed Central Park in New York as well as the properties of the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. Oh, I love that music, and I love the whole era and the series. I didn't like the movie so much, but Downton Abbey, I think anyone who fell in love with that series probably envisioned living in the beautiful manor. Well, you can actually tour the manor in Ann Arbor at Concordia University, as we welcome from the leadership team at Concordia and the Concordia Guild, Joni Kirshen. Great to have you back with us here. It is such a beautiful, beautiful property, isn't it, Joni?
It is. We probably take it for granted. I often think how gorgeous it is to someone who just sees it for the first time. But yeah, it's so wonderful to be back with you. I am really enjoying the conversation that we're going to have today. It's going to be great.
Also with us is Susan Hatch. She is a noted historian of the manor in Concordia and gives monthly manor tours. And great to have you with us as well, Susan. You know, the time period's different than Downton Abbey, obviously, but this very much looks of that era, doesn't it?
It does. The exterior of the home is built in a French eclectic style, like a country chateau. The exterior was hand-tooled with limestone to make it look old. It was also quite modern building for its day. It was constructed of concrete and steel, has an amazing ventilation system. Was one of the first, believed to be the first home west of New York City that had central air conditioning. Each bedroom had its own bathroom with hot and cold running rainwater. Mr. Earhart's shower has a 10 shower head spa-like feel to it. And Mrs. Earhart's bathroom is lined completely in Puavec tile. Blue Puavec tile, which was very extraordinary for that time.
All of that was. Well, the Earhart Manor Downton Abbey Valentine's Tea is scheduled for 2022. And Joni, count me in if Robert Crawley, the Earl of Grantham, is there, or even Mr. Carson for that matter.
Yeah. Yes, I think they will be.
Oh, really?
We're actually hoping that we will have some character portrayals going on. And we also, of course, are going to invite all the guests to dress in Downton attire of their choice. You could stretch it to the 20s if you wanted to, but
I love it. This is coming up on February 12th, 2022, 2:00 in the afternoon, and it's $100 per person. This is a fundraiser for the Earhart Manor Endowment. Joni, tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, the endowment fund has been recently established with the cooperation that we received from the advancement team at the university. We couldn't have done it without them, but this endowment has been brought very quickly to actual full funding. And so it is already going to be a great assistance to the budget, and to the security of keeping the manor strong for forever. We knew that the university couldn't do that. This historic site will take a great deal of care to keep it as it should be. So the endowment fund is there for that. And so we're always trying to put more money into that. The faster we grow the endowment fund, the more that it can be available, the funds can be available, the percent of that, endowment can go to upkeep and maintenance.
I love that Concordia University is forward thinking in that way, and that through the Concordia Guild and the university, you remain committed to respecting the character of the building through this endowment that was created for the historical preservation and upkeep of Earhart Manor. Susan, take us back to 1961 when the manor and 234 acres of the Earhart estate were purchased by the Lutheran Church. Tell us about this.
Well, one of the stipulations of Mr. Earhart's will was that the property be sold to a place of higher learning, or preferably at a university or a college.
Mm-hmm.
He was very instrumental in establishing industrial engineering programs at Caltech, Queens College in Toronto, and at the University of Michigan. University of Michigan wasn't interested in the property, and it sat vacant for about 7 or 8 years after his death. There was only a caretaker there. But we're so glad that Concordia University or Concordia College purchased it at that time, and they've really grown in that space.
And since that time, it has become a university. It started out as Concordia College, but now known as Concordia University Ann Arbor, of course. So was there vision back then in the 60s when it was purchased as to what this could become, Susan?
I'm not certain on that point. Maybe Joni could answer that better than I.
Yeah, I don't think the university thought real visionary at that point. They used it as a student center for many, many years. So they used it as part of their, in fact, the alumni today that support the manor support it because they have such fond memories.
It's fun to listen to them when they come through on tours. They tell stories.
So in other words, they have an affinity to that building itself, not just because of what the historical significance, but because they spent a lot of time there.
Yes. They dearly loved it.
Mm-hmm. And so, Richard Earhart, Carrie and Harry's son, had an adjacent property down the road on Earhart Road, kind of in the area where Green Hills School is now. And his home, his manor, was dubbed the Manor 2 by Concordia students. And some of them lived there, but later that was raised to build Green Hills School.
Oh, my goodness. I never knew that. That's very interesting. We're talking with Susan Hatch and Joni Kirshen from Concordia University's Concordia Guild, formerly known as the Women's Guild, and the activities they have planned to help fund the endowment fund for the Earhart Manor, which is on the property of Concordia University at Geddes and US 23 on Ann Arbor's north side. Susan, in Downton Abbey, it was very much about the dichotomy between the upstairs residents and the downstairs help. Back in its heyday, did the Earharts employ help, and did staff live on site?
Oh, absolutely. It's quite the story, really. There was a staff of 29, and the principal employees, the superintendent, the gardener, the dairyman, they all lived on the property in various houses. The only house that's still standing is across Earhart Road from the campus now. It's a little white house near the big white barn. And that was the home of Anthony Reach, who was a renowned horticulturist that the Earharts kind of met. They met at a flower show in New York and coaxed him into coming to Ann Arbor to help build the grounds of their estate. And then they had, there are servants' quarters. Those are generally not open to the public. But they're not as ornate as the rest of the house, of course.
And are the servants' quarters on the same floor, or describe the manor and its configuration?
The servants' quarters are the entrance is off the kitchen, and there's an exterior entrance as well over on that side of the building. There was a sitting room for the butler and the cook, downstairs. That was the only place that Mr. Earhart allowed a TV to be in the manor.
Oh, really? What? Why? Yep. What was behind that thinking?
He believed in books and conversation and was very family-oriented. One of his children and their family came for dinner every Wednesday night, and the other, another one that lived also on an adjacent property came every Thursday night. So after dinner, the grandchildren remember scooting off to the servants' room so that they could watch TV.
You know, the manor's set up very much for conversation and book reading, isn't it? In the rooms. Yeah.
It is. Mr. Earhart was very fond of reading, despite only having an eighth grade education.
You're kidding me.
Oh, no. His history is a whole nother story in itself.
Only an eighth grade education. How did he attain all he did in his life?
Well, he came from a very large family in Pennsylvania. There were 11 children, and he was one of three boys. And at that time, which I think is very interesting as well, his parents felt that the girls should get education and that the boys should go to work and help support the family. The women should have received education just in case they didn't get married, and he didn't want them to be dependent on anyone else.
I can't believe what I'm hearing here. This seems the exact opposite of what you would have thought for that time period, even sending women to get educated, but it makes sense. For what?
PhDs.
Really?
Some of them were PhDs, yes, and college professors.
Wow. I want to go back to when Earhart Manor was a student center. The fact that it is so remarkably preserved today is amazing when you think about what could go on in a student center. How was that even possible? Joni, do you have a...
I do recall when we first came to Concordia.
And we should mention, your late husband, Dr. James Kirshen, was president at Concordia, 1993 to 2003?
Yeah, 2000, yeah.
Okay.
It was, yeah, and he did some work right away when he got there to get the dormitories remodeled and such, because it was a college. It was a small, you know, two-year college then, and needed more on things like that. So the manor got kind of ignored for a little while, you know, as far as doing anything to it. But then, when the restoration, could happen with the support of Fred Schmid, the big donor that we had, to enable us to be restoring the manor, that brought it to the point where we could do what we do today. It couldn't even support Christmas lights before the restoration. The electrical system was so bad, you know, and it was just needing so much. So that's when it began to be restored, and things were changed. Looked a lot different after that. Yeah.
Joan Kirshen with us from the Guild at Concordia University Ann Arbor, Susan Hatch as well. Susan, you mentioned a moment ago about the gardens and the horticulturist that had been hired. These gardens are spectacular. I mean, they're very remarkable. Tell us what you know about them.
Well, the Olmsted firm of Brookline, Massachusetts, as you mentioned earlier, did the landscaping. The Meadows property, as they used to call it at the time, was extensively landscaped even before the current manor house was built. We have some photographs that we like to show to our tour guests of the incredible landscaping, the ponds, the lakes. It was an amazing undertaking. And when we have some of the planting lists, when Mr. Earhart ordered trees, he ordered 200 of one kind, you know, 300 of something else. And it was a great joy to him to walk around in the gardens, in the landscaping. And he would change it around if he didn't like the way it was. He would move 30-foot trees. If he thought it should be 6 foot this way, then that's where it went. It was, he spent a lot of time in the greenhouses also. He and his wife, Carrie, really enjoyed a love of gardening. He was more into trees and shrubs, and she was known for her daffodil strains.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a photo of the greenhouse when it was in full bloom with her, the narcissus that's named after her. There were lakes that were all completely landscaped, wading ponds. It was, must have been a real sight to behold.
How much of that remains today, and how do you keep up the landscaping and the gardens today?
Well, we're working on trying to restore some of the gardens at this point. There was a gift from, I think it was the class of 1967, that helped to restore the Rose Garden. The university has recently replanted that. There are a few, there's a Japanese lilac tree that still exists and a few large copper beeches, but much of the rest of it is unfortunately no longer there.
The reflection pool, though, is...
The reflection pool is there, yes.
And Joan, I understand that a relationship is being forged. Is it with the Ann Arbor Garden Club?
Yes. I'm sorry that I can't say for sure when that's going to happen, but the Ann Arbor Garden Club had invited us to be a part of their walk. Although when COVID came, everything was pushed off because it couldn't happen for a couple of years. So now I don't have the firm time that it's going to happen. But in the future, in the next couple of years, we hope that we'll be part of the Ann Arbor Garden Walk.
That's always a wonderful walk, that you would be a stop on their itinerary for that day. And it's usually sometime in the summer, and they do a beautiful job with that Ann Arbor Farm and Garden. We're talking with Joan Kirshen and Susan Hatch about Concordia University's Earhart Manor, which recently an endowment was established in order to care for the manor in years to come. How is the manor used today, Joni? If it used to be a student center, and I know you've hosted a variety of great events at the manor, but how does Concordia University utilize the manor day to day?
Well, we're happy to say that Concordia University is growing and doing very well, and so they need every bit of space that they can get to function on a day-to-day basis. So the whole second floor is filled with admissions and business and advancement offices.
Mm-hmm.
And so, though we have been given permission recently to actually open the doors where before of the second floor and show such things as the Bwabic tile in Mrs. Earhart's bathroom and Mr. Earhart's and Mrs. Earhart's bedroom. We're able to show those things now on the second floor, which was for a while pretty much off limits for us, and it was disappointing that we couldn't use it. But yes, today it's basically a functioning building for that. But they're very, very helpful and supportive. So we do monthly tours. I guess now is a good enough time to bring that up. We do monthly tours to show the manor, and Susan is in charge of that. As you can tell, Susan is our historian. I let her speak.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out more about the monthly tours at the Earhart Manor and also tell you more about the big Valentine's tea that is coming up, Downton Abbey style. It couldn't be at a more perfect venue. The historic Earhart Manor in Ann Arbor. You are listening to Concordia University Ann Arbor's Spotlight. For more information about Concordia and its programs, you can go to cuaa.edu. Back with more in a moment on Ann Arbor's Talk Station 1290 WLBY. This is the Concordia University Ann Arbor Spotlight, and today the spotlight is on the gorgeous Earhart Manor on the grounds of Concordia University Ann Arbor, which is just off of US 23 and Geddes. Here in Ann Arbor, my guests are Joni Kirshen and Susan Hatch. They are with the Concordia Guild on the leadership team. Susan, tell me about your monthly tours. This is something that the public can access and actually see the manor.
Yes. The information is in the Ann Arbor Observer. Also, you can schedule a tour by calling 734 995-7509 or via email at concordiaguild@cuaa.edu.
I'll repeat both of those in just a moment, but are these private tours? Is there a date specifically for every month? Is it a group tour? How do they work?
It is the first Sunday of the month at 1 o'clock. If we end up receiving more requests for more than 20 requests per tour, then we will consider adding additional tours. It's very flexible. Or if someone wants to schedule a special tour, it would have to be on a weekend. We can do that as well.
And is there a cost to the tour?
The tour cost is $10, and all of the proceeds go to benefit the Earhart Manor Foundation.
That's wonderful. Let me give the contact again. The phone number is 995-7509. That's 995-7509. Or you can email concordiaguild@cuaa.edu. concordiaguild@cuaa.edu. What kinds of response do you get, Susan, from people who take the tour? Maybe their first time in and they didn't realize the rich history that was right under their noses.
That's right. In fact, on the first tour, we had a gentleman who lives up on in the subdivision up on Earhart Road, and he said, "I've been past this place so many times, I cannot tell you. I've always wanted to see what it was like inside," and that he was very interested. That was very fun. And in that same group, we had some a writer of his books on history of Ann Arbor. So it was really fun to have her there too. And this will be our third time coming up in January. And the second time I had some guests who were familiar with the family.
Oh, so
that was really fun.
Well, that's nice because they can add to the context too. They can tell you stories about the family. And that brings up a question that I often wonder about, not just in relationship with the Earhart Manor, but any of these historic properties. How is it when grand families, you know, own these magnificent properties that they're not handed down generally into the family, but they end up, and probably thankfully so, with an organization, a foundation, a university like Concordia, so that they're preserved? How does something like that happen when these families managed these big properties many moons ago?
Well, the Earharts had four children. Richard had an adjacent estate up Earhart Road, and Elizabeth Kennedy had another adjacent estate. The other two daughters lived in Massachusetts. I don't know. Perhaps it was because of the upkeep. Originally, it was over 400 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Concordia purchased it, it was, I think, 234 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And family members had their own careers or had their own place to live.
And times changed, didn't they?
They did.
From those days.
But Mr. Earhart used to enjoy having all of his unmarried sisters would come and stay with him for chunks of time. It was a very well-loved place, lots of family interaction there.
Hmm. Did he die knowing that this history would continue? Do you know if he...
I know that he made it part of his will that he wanted it to go to a university or a college.
But it had not been completed at that point.
I'm sorry?
It had not been completed at that point? He didn't see it come to its fruition?
No. He passed away in 1954.
Oh, just not too many years before Concordia acquired it in 60, was it one?
About 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so it may have been that family didn't have the opportunity
mm-hmm.
to move into the house.
Joni, the fact that a foundation was created now for this indicates that Concordia takes this very seriously, the preservation and the importance of this manor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the university does care about the manor, but a university needs to put its money into its students and what will benefit them. And it was just impossible for them really to be sure that they could care for the history or the, for this, you know, maintenance of this historic site. And so we realized that, and they realized that, and at just the right time, this endowment can happen. We never really thought it would happen. It's just such a marvelous thing. I do want to make sure that we talk a little bit, too, before we have to close, about the paintings that are in the manor. I don't think I mentioned that, but we have some wonderful oil paintings. Susan, you want to share a little about that?
I would love to. Yeah. It's added so much to the feeling of the house, and our tour guests have really enjoyed them. I think they enjoy looking at those almost as much as they enjoy going through the manor. I will also say that Concordia University has done an excellent job in how they've used the building. They've adapted to the building instead of adapting the building for their use.
Mm-hmm.
But the paintings were gifted by a Jim Irwin, who had a company, Wolverine Technical Staffing, in Ann Arbor for many years.
That's right, yes.
And he commissioned Daniel Gregory to do these paintings, and it took him 4 years to do these 33 paintings.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Irwin did about 7 years of research and carefully chose the buildings that are depicted in the paintings and the scenes.
Can you give us an idea of one of those scenes or what is
yes,
in those?
One is the observatory, mm-hmm. You know, the old observatory at the University of Michigan. One is the post office that's on Main Street near the county buildings. Some of the buildings no longer exist. There was a Dr. Chase Steen Printing Company. Dr. Chase was the author of a book, Dr. Chase's Practical Recipes. There were over 800 recipes in the book. It was the second best-selling book next to the Bible.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how important it was. And the recipes now are not what you and I would think of as recipes. They were things like creating a tanning solution or a salve for a lung condition or pharmaceuticals or just unbelievable.
So he had a company in Ann Arbor?
He did. He had a printing company in Ann Arbor, and that is one of the buildings that's in the...
It would be fascinating to take the tour just to see those paintings alone.
And each of the paintings, as Susan just described about the one, each of the paintings tells a unique story.
Indeed.
And then you put them all together and you have that whole story that is just, it's really delightful. So I want to say that we're trying to incorporate that into our tour time, because it takes a lot longer to tour the manor when you're looking at the manor in addition to looking at the paintings. So we're working on that because of the timing of it. And in the near future, in the next year, we're going to have a recording that Jim Irwin did, and it's going to be available for people who will tour the paintings with headphones on.
Oh.
And they can hear what he has to say about.
Oh, how marvelous. This is the first time I've heard about this. I'm so glad you mentioned this, and all part now of the manor and the experience you'll get at the Earhart Manor. Again, to take that tour, it's monthly, first Sunday at 1 p.m., and you need to book in advance, I assume. Is that right, Susan?
Yes.
Okay, and you can call 995-7509. That's 995-7509, or you can email concordiaguild@cuaa.edu. And you can also get tickets for the Earhart Manor Downton Abbey Valentine's Tea coming up on February 12, 2022. That's a Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, $100 a person, and all the funds going over to the Earhart Manor Endowment, which has now been established to preserve this gorgeous property on the campus of Concordia University Ann Arbor. We hope you join us in supporting Earhart Manor, one of the finest period houses in Southeast Michigan, and certainly a jewel on the Concordia campus. Ladies, so nice talking with you today. Joan Kirshen, Susan Hatch from the Concordia Guild, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lucianne.
You are listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.